Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Lord, we just come before you. We want to be out of the two things described in that passage, Lord, instead of being that shrub in the wilderness, we want to be the tree planted by the waters, Lord, spreading out its roots by the river, nourished, that no matter what comes, no matter what heat or anxiety, no matter what happens, Lord, in times of turbulence, we will ever be producing fruit, Lord, rooted and grounded in you, Lord. Help us, God, to live in this way, that you would stir our hearts to be generous. We are the body of Christ, Lord, and when one member suffers, the rest suffer with it, Lord. So we ask in Jesus' name, you'd help us to see this. I pray, God, that this word would penetrate deep into our hearts and that you would receive all the praise, honor, and glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So a tree planted by the water in this passage is exhibited by having no fear or anxiety and is instead nourished, healthy, and fruit producing. Remember, last time I had spoken about this passage, I talked a lot about like the fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. How if we have the fear of man, we're going to be giving in to commanding and controlling because we're going to try to take actions into our own hands. But the reality is when we trust God, okay, when we decide to make him our all, when we decide to have him as our anchor, just like Johnny was singing about, no matter what comes, we're going to get, you know, we're going to experience some turbulence, some heat, some things that are going to come our way, but we will not be moved because we will be rooted firmly upon Jesus. So remember, the extent that we allow anxiety and fear to reside in our hearts at any given moment, that is the extent that we are not trusting God in that moment. And I say in that moment because, let's face it, we're not very, I was going to say not very stable, that sounds bad. We're not very stable. But in a lot of ways, we're not. Being human, waking up on the wrong side of the bed is something that we say, right? Because we oftentimes exhibit a different attitude or different behaviors based on how we feel and the way that our emotions pull us this way and that way. But here's the truth. We're called to be rooted constantly in Christ. Amen. And so when you are allowing fear and anxiety into your heart, let that be a red flag in that moment. Not to beat yourself up or to condemn yourself, but simply to draw attention to the fact that, oh, I'm feeling this right now because I must be allowing something else to be taking my attention other than Christ. I must be allowing whatever this thing is to take my peace. And in that moment, you can then pray to him and recenter yourself in him, root yourself or anchor yourself in him in that moment. Just like we've said before, even strong people can have weak moments, right? But we do not let those weak moments have us. So the encouragement is this: we're going to have weak moments. We're going to go through things. But in those moments, we can use that as a time to recenter ourselves and say, nope, I'm going to stand fast on his word. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to fear God instead of fearing man. I'm going to be like the tree planted by the water, spreading out its roots by the river, and will not be anxious when the heat comes or the drought comes, right, but will be nourished, ever producing fruit.
Amen.
A person who trusts in the Lord is said to be planted by the waters and spreads out its roots by the river. Being planted and rooted gives us the image of stability. I don't know if you've ever tried to pull a plant up by the roots. Sometimes you'll find like a weed out there and you think, I got this, you know? And you try to pick it up and you try to pull it out, and man, that thing is in there. Like, the root system must be like 10 times as big as the plant is itself, because it is not letting go. And, you know, I'll try to pull it and I can. I'll look around to make sure no one was watching me fail, because I like to consider myself kind of strong, but when I can't do that, it's kind of embarrassing and I'm just in my garden, right? Like, when something has a strong root system, it's hard to pull up. So too should we be so rooted in Christ that no matter what comes our way, we're going to stubbornly stay in Him.
Amen.
Stubbornly stay in Him. If we could ask Jeremiah, who wrote this passage, if we could ask him, what does it look like for someone to trust in the Lord and be planted by the waters in a practical sense? You know, his suggestion might look kind of different, you know, being a Jew who lived almost 2,600 years ago. But for us as believers today, what does it look like for a follower of Jesus to be planted by the waters in modern times? Okay? So I want to turn to John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Or it says of him, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, what's happening in this is Jesus, and remember, the Holy Spirit had not been received yet by anybody. That doesn't happen until the day of Pentecost, okay? After Jesus has ascended, he sends the Holy Spirit, the helper, and they receive them together as they're in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and he shows up in tongues of fire. You remember this. But Jesus is telling these people that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, these are the people that are going to have those rivers of living water flowing from their hearts. And notice that it says, as scripture has said. You see, we can have all kinds of wonky ideas about Jesus. You could get on the internet right now and look up some stuff. You'd be like, oh, wow, that's some weird out of left field stuff I've never heard of before. There's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions about who Jesus Christ is. But unless it's coming from the Word of God, don't even pay attention to it. Don't even. Because this is the inspired, God-breathed Word of God.
Amen.
And if we're not understanding who Jesus is through the revelation of the word that he himself has given us, that he himself has inspired, we're going to end up with all kinds of wonky ideas. So it's not just about believing in Jesus as a historical figure. It's not just about believing in Jesus as whatever image of Jesus you want to conjure up in your mind or in your imagination. It's believing in Jesus specifically as the scripture has said. Out of that person, rivers of living water will flow from them. This is explained in the following verse, explained as those who have the Holy Spirit living inside them. These rivers is the Holy Spirit living inside of you, abiding in you, taking up residence in you. The moment that you become a believer in Jesus and you trust upon him for your salvation, the Holy Spirit now makes his home in you. God is now living in you. You now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's magnanimous. That's huge. Never before has anything like that ever been done in the history of man until the day of Pentecost, where the Lord takes up residence in the people who believe in him. It's a great miracle and something we shouldn't take for granted or belittle. It is amazing, a blessing. So if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you've got rivers of living water flowing out of your heart. Those who faithfully believe and trust in Jesus have the Holy Spirit residing in them. And the Holy Spirit is life-giving and nourishing like living waters. So here's the question. And guys, I'll just preface this. You know me. You know I don't like it when you get all glassy-eyed and your mouth is agape. I like some interaction a little bit, right? How many of you want to be around rivers of living water? Amen. Amen. Well, if you want it, there are two indispensable things that must be done, or else it won't happen. Two indispensable, priceless things that must be done. One, per this verse, believe and trust in Jesus as the scripture has said. And the second, hang around his people. If you want rivers of living water flowing out of you, you got to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the scripture has said. If you want to be around those waters, you also, not only do you want to just believe in Jesus as an individual, you also must hang around his people, your family, by the way, who also has those rivers of living water flowing out of them. You want to be a tree planted by the waters that doesn't fear when he comes, you got to hang out with the people of God. I know you're like, but come on. I was really hoping I could be some like monastic monk out in the wilderness who could just spend time with Jesus by myself and not have to deal with people. Where are my introverts out there? Nobody? Oh, that's right. You're introverted. You're not going to raise your hand in front of people. I'm a recovering introvert. So like I am actually introverted, but I like force myself to stand in front of people and it's just, it's super fun. I know what that feels like, so kudos to you for being in with God's people this morning. Whether you're extroverted or introverted, we need God's people. We need the church.
Right.
You know, God. I recently had an assignment. He made this very clear to me. One of my seminary classes, I had to write a 15-page spiritual autobiography, okay? And essentially what that is you have to go through your life and try to highlight the big milestone moments where you saw God's hand at work. And even in hindsight, times where you look back and you're like, wow, that was God. And you didn't even know it at the time. And you had to write down all of these things and then have your classmates read it and make comments on it. And just kind of, it helps you to discern how good God is. It helps you to remember how you've been called, how you have been invited on this journey with Jesus. And God made it very clear to me. I just want to tell you some of the things that God has blessed me with by his church. One of the things he made very clear to me right away was I needed to be connected to his people. When I got saved, I was alone in my bedroom. I was about 14 years old. And I had gotten bored. It was the dog days of summer. All the things I thought I was going to do with summer had already been exhausted, and I didn't know what to do. So I go down into my parents' basement at the time, and I look for a movie to watch, which were, by the way, a bunch of drawers of VHS tapes. And as I'm scanning the titles of these movies, I see the name Jesus on one of them. And I hadn't gone to church. Like I had stepped foot in a church for a funeral once. I had been a few times on the religious ed bus that is here in Shelby County. Amen to that. That was some of my first experiences learning about God. I went to a VBS for a day when I was about like 8, maybe sometime around there. But other than that, I was not in church growing up. And so I see this name Jesus on the VHS tape. I've heard the name, don't really know much about him, and decide to look for another movie. All the movies were like really old ones that my parents liked that I thought were lame. So, but then the name Jesus kept sticking out to me. And I thought, it's like the thought came into my mind, will it hurt? I take that VHS tape, I march upstairs, I put it in my TV, had a built-in VCR, and I watched it. And I was perplexed by it. It was about the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, his mission to us, about his death, burial, his resurrection. And at the end, it invites you, a narrator says a prayer, and you can come along and say that prayer if you want to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So I had watched it, I don't know how many times that week, maybe 2 or 3 times. I didn't say that prayer until that last time, something in my heart was like, you know what? I think I believe this. I'm gonna do this. So I rewind the tape to the part where the prayer is said. I run over to my bed. I put my hands folded on top of the covers because that's, you know, I saw that in movies. That's how you're supposed to pray, right? At the foot of your bed with the hands on the covers. And I repeated that prayer. And my life has been different ever since. Not because I tried harder to do other things or tried to make myself into someone I wasn't, but because something transpired inside of me that forever would change the trajectory of my life. And that is, and I probably didn't realize it at the time, Holy Spirit took up residence inside of me. Amen. I became a child of God. Immature, a babe, don't know anything about God, but a child of God nonetheless. God made it clear to me he wanted me to be connected with his people, because not even 2 hours later, my only two friends at the time who went to a youth group invited me to youth group. And I did not want to go for the longest time. They had invited me maybe two or three other occasions. And one time they were like, hey, you want to come to this thing called a lock-in? I'm like, what is that? That sounds dumb. A lock-in? Those sound weird. I don't want anything to do with that. Now, you know that since I'm a youth pastor now and have had many lock-ins, like, they are fun. But most of the things I heard them do and like say that they were trying to invite me to were things I was at before coming to Christ. I was like, no thanks, appreciate it, but I'll pass. But that day, something was different. I had just given my life to the Lord. And when they called me a couple hours later, and again, they didn't do this super often. Like I said, it was only a handful of times they invited me. They said, hey, well, you want to come to youth group with us tonight? And it's like something in me realized that's my cue. The ball's in my court, and I think I'm going to say yes. And I did. I said yes, and I haven't stopped going to church since. Amen. I bring this up to say, I was alone in my bedroom when I was saved. But God put such an emphasis on the importance of his people that he didn't even let 2 hours go by before he said, I want you connected to my people. It was that important to him. He wanted me to be connected to his church. The Holy Spirit, through the church, taught me about Jesus, as the scripture has said. I'm sure I had some ideas or some thoughts about God beforehand. A lot of us do. You know, we're all little philosophers before we ever learn anything about truth. And that's just how children are, right? They grow up asking all these questions, trying to figure things out. Well, I'm sure I would have had all kinds of opinions about God. I don't remember quite certainly what those were. But I do remember when I came into the church, I finally stepped into a place where people started teaching me about Jesus, as the scripture has said. You see, that is priceless. That's so indispensable. That's so important to have a community where people will tell you about who God is. Yep. Not just trying to get on the internet and do a Wikipedia search, like really trying by experience and sound doctrine to understand the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son. At the church, I received mentorship, companionship, and guidance. Relationships. I don't know about you, but not all my relationships were super healthy. When I started getting involved in the church, God started putting people in my life that helped me and were pointing me in the right direction. Mentors, friends, relationships that were so beneficial in changing the direction of what I was doing and where I was going with my life. That was in his church. It was while I was with God's people, the church, that I was baptized for the first time and later received my call into vocational ministry. I wasn't a monastic monk out in the wilderness just waiting for a word from it. No, I was with God's people, and while I was with them, God put it on my heart that he wanted me to be in ministry.
Amen.
Specifically vocational ministry, meaning like I wanted to make this like something I did as an occupation, like as a job, something that I wanted to pursue for the rest of my life. But truth is, every one of us is called to ministry, aren't we? That's the truth. We're all called. Read 2 Corinthians 5. You and I, all of us as believers, have a ministry. Now, here's the thing. At the time when he put that on my heart, I was with the people of God in a community where God made his voice clear to me about what he was asking me to do. It was within the church that God allowed me to grow and make mistakes. Have you ever made mistakes in the body of Christ? Am I alone in here? No. I've been able to be a part of a community of people who have allowed me to grow and to stretch out and to, again, yeah, make some mistakes. Actually, Pastor Fred and I were at a conference yesterday for the Global Methodist Church, and we heard our bishop speaking, and he told an interesting story of a young man who was getting promoted to a pretty serious position. It was, in fact, something quite rare that someone this young would be advanced to this position in this company. And so he was very nervous about it, naturally, and was, you know, not even sure if the right decision was being made. He just knew that, okay, well, I got to step it up. So he goes and he asks the CEO of the company for experience and advice, and how can I do a good job at what I am being promoted to do? And so he asks him, he says, what can I do to be successful in this new position? And the CEO says, make right choices. To which the guy was like, yeah, that's kind of why I'm asking you. Can you be a little more specific? Like, what do you mean by right choices? Like, how do I do this? And he's like, get experience. The young man was like, okay, yeah, yes, thank you. Yes, that is what I want. Can you be a little bit more elaborate on your explanation, though? I'm still not understanding. How do I get experience? To which the CEO responds, make wrong choices. You see, here's the truth. In the church, God has allowed me to live in a community where I don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
I don't have to be. We're moving on to holiness and perfection in the love of Christ. But here's the thing. As of right now, in this moment, I have not attained it.
Right.
And I'm not sure anyone in this room can boast of such a thing, right? We're growing into people that are becoming more like Christ. And being involved with God's church has allowed me to be in a community of people where I didn't have to be perfect, but I could try to live out God's call for my life and receive what I need to be able to become who He's calling me to be. So can I just say thank you, actually, for that? Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for allowing me to make mistakes and not kicking me out, even if you wanted to at some point. Thank you for giving me space to grow.
Praise God.
That's for all of us, though.
Right.
Every one of us can come into this community. Now, am I saying it's perfect? No. Far from it. People are going to rub you the wrong way, and people will be abrasive sometimes and rude. It's just going to happen. But here's the thing. Jesus is with us.
Yeah.
And He's going to help guide the curriculum, the relationships that we have in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I learned to be vulnerable in the church. I think there's a level of vulnerability that we're like okay with, that we're like, yeah, I get it. I gotta be a little vulnerable, so I'll say this list of things here, but not this list. This list is too dark, too deep, too full of pain. I don't even wanna think about it or else I'll cry type of pain. But here's the truth. God is calling us to be open with brothers and sisters in Christ who He's placed in our proximity to help bring healing. See, the Bible says that if we confess our sins to God, we'll be forgiven. Amen? It's 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. In the book of James, it talks about how if we confess our sins one to another, we will be healed. We are in a community of people where we can get open and honest and get help where we need it. And yeah, bring up that list that we didn't want to bring up about things we've gone through. And it's going to help bring healing in perspective. It's going to help bring redemption. In those areas you thought were unredeemable, can use by redeeming it, and He will receive the glory for it. Whatever you've been through, it can help other people.
Yeah.
But you got to be healed of it first. And as you become healed of it, you're going to be able to see other people who you didn't know ever went through the same thing you did and be able to bring that counsel and wisdom and perspective in healing into their life. We have to learn to be vulnerable in the church. God gave me a safe place in the church to be vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah. I received discipline in the church. Ah, discipline. It just tastes bad saying it. But my goodness, does it produce fruit? My goodness, it is so important for us to receive discipline. I think I've been doing it long enough to see a pattern. And the pattern is a lot of times people will come to church. Maybe they're new believers. They are on fire, gung-ho for the Lord. Maybe they just haven't ever experienced Christian community, you know, in the capacity that they have. And they're excited to be there and they're learning and they're growing. But then one day, a word of discipline is offered. And that's the testing point. Will you receive discipline from God's church? Or will you run? God has used people to discipline me. Listen, the Bible is important on this subject. It says, it highlights the importance of it when it says that whom God considers sons and daughters, he chastens. Because he loves his sons and his daughters. That's why he does it. That's why he brings discipline. Because imagine a child growing up with no discipline. What happens? They're not prepared for life. And they end up getting really hurt. They end up getting in some serious stuff that discipline could have helped keep them from. They're thankful for the discipline later, because later they see the fruit that it produced. In the moment, discipline is not pleasurable. It tastes bad. We don't want it. We don't want to be disciplined, but we need it, because if we're legitimate sons and daughters of God, not only do we need it, we need to be expecting it. And if you come to church, are you that open to being in a community of people where God will discipline you through them? I've made mistakes, like I said, and Pastor Fred has pulled me aside on occasion and said, hey, think about doing it this way, or hey, that wasn't quite, you know, what we're looking for. And at the time, it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. I want to be told I'm perfect and I have nice hair. Like, I want to be... cajoled and, you know, have people pat me on the back and say, what a good job. But when someone I trust can pull me aside and say, hey, pray about this, or hey, this is what it needs to look like. At the time, it's not pleasurable, but later on, it is so important. It is so good. And many, 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 many people have run from church at that crossroads right there. They want it to feel good, but the moment that something doesn't feel good, it's time to go church shop. The time that it starts getting into your business, the time that it starts cracking into that list you want to leave hidden, it's time to church shop is what we think. When in reality, this could be a catalyst event for the biggest growth you will ever experience when you submit to God's direction through his church. Amen. I was married and started a family in the presence of the church. Man. Yeah, a lot of you guys are at my wedding. It's almost 8 years ago now, by the way, which is weird. Someone told me on my wedding day, they were like, oh, 10 years will go by and you won't even realize it. And I'm like, yeah, right, that's a long time. And now I'm like, 8 years, oh boy, it is going fast. But I think about that day a lot. And I think about how a lot of you were there. And I think about how my kids are being raised in this church now. And it means so much more to me than it used to when it was just a hypothetical thing. Like, oh yeah, getting married and oh yeah, having kids, like far away, I don't have to pay attention to that now. But now that it's happening before my eyes, I see in the church the kind of help my kids are gonna need. I see in the church the kind of relationships that are gonna help form them into the type of people that I can't by myself. I need the church for my family. Right. But when I really think about the main points that changed my life, it wasn't just the miraculous. It wasn't just these amazing like words of knowledge that come out of left field or things that God downloads into my heart. It was being in community with his people that caused the greatest change. For all of my life in Christ, being planted by rivers of living water has looked like being planted by people.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.